Apostle Cruz, when the Bible talks about the heart of man, I think somewhere in Jeremiah, what exactly is the Bible talking about? Now we know that it's not that muzzle on the right, left, or center. So what's the heart?
The heart referred to in the Bible is that driving center of the human being. It's that invisible part of us that drives how we behave. It's what God really looks at, because most times we can act nicely, but deep down, seated in our hearts, we are not like that. Sometimes there's something that they say, I don't know how that adage really goes, where they say someone can actually smile at you, but deep down in their heart, they are not happy with you. And that heart is not very visible, like how our real heart is, but it's what drives everything. It's an analogy to the real heart, because the heart that we have pump all the blood is the one that pumps the life across. The same thing also with the heart. In itself, it's through that heart that everything emanates from. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it comes all the issues of life. If you are experiencing anything, the first thing you should look at is the state of your heart, because it's the heart that actually is like the incubation point for anything that you will see that will manifest in the physical in any of our lives.
Okay. You know, just going on that point you made, because I was curious personally to one time, you know, checking what the Bible actually calls the heart. And I looked at the literal meaning. When you see heart in the Bible, it actually talks about the inner man, that man on the inside, you know, the mind. It talks about, you know, the way we learn, we think, your understanding, your thinking, your inclination, your conscience. And just like you said, that's actually what God looks at. That's what God sees. It's not the things we do per se, or the things we acquire, or what we look like on the outside. It's that inner man, that our conscience, the seat of appetites, our emotions, our passions. When you say take heart to somebody, you're talking about courage. You know? So that's the heart we're looking at. So let's get that as our definition, so that anytime we mention heart here, everybody knows what we're talking about. We're not talking about the left ventricle, the right ventricle. You know, I still remember my biology, you see. Please clap for me, everybody here. Please clap. Make me feel good. Now, when we were looking at the heart, I remembered you shared something with us. What month was that?
In April.
Sir. In April. You did a little, what Dr. Uche and the medics will call, when you diagnose, you know, you what is it when they're looking at something, when they want to check, when they do all the scans, the MRI scans and the what other scan? Sorry, wrong number. I shouldn't ask you. Stay your lane. Because what are those scans again? You know, you do when you want to check
X-rays.
Stay on your lane, bro. MRI scan, CT scan, X-rays, ultra scan. Even the boys are talking there. All right, thank you, Dr. Kumbi. Right. So you did all that, and I remembered you talked about the different kinds of hearts, because we're looking at a topic today. If we can bring that up, how to know the true state of my heart. How to know the true state of my heart. That's what we're going to be looking at. So can you tell us briefly, again, those different kinds of hearts? Because you were using the analogy, drawing from the parable that Jesus gave about the parable of the sower. A sower went to sow, some fell by the wayside, some fell by
the on the rocky.
On the rock.
Some fell in the midst of thorns.
In the midst of thorns, yeah.
And then some fell on the good ground.
Okay, on the good ground. Do we remember that parable, people?
Yes.
Okay. So you used that and you were able to bring out the different kinds of hearts.
Yes, sir.
All right, please, can you tell us again? Let's do a kind of a recap.
I think Matthew chapter 13, it's also in Luke, there's an account in Luke also. So in Matthew chapter 13, Christ was talking about the different kinds of hearts, and this is just going to be a quick recap. I would encourage everyone to go back to the service in April and just watch that. There was a series on it, and Pastor has also dealt on it over the past few weeks. But there were four kinds of hearts that were talked about there, and the first one was the wayside heart. And one of the things that we learned in April was the fact that the wayside heart is the heart that is under that oppression of the enemy. Is that heart where there's a lot of people walking and going through that heart? There's the birds are picking up the word of God. So there's a lot of traffic going in through that heart. Every time the seed of the word is sown into that heart, it doesn't have the opportunity to grow. And what happens is the birds come up and they pick it easily. And there's no life. And we all know what happens when you start to walk on a path. So let's say there's a grass path and people continue to walk on that path. After a while, you will see a patch of land on that particular path. Nothing grows on that path where there's continuous movement. And it's like people that are under the oppression of the world, where all that we get, all that influences us is what is happening in the world. The word of God does not really have any influence. There's a lot of movement. There's a lot of application of what we call knowledge going on in our hearts. And what we are seeing really is death happening due to that kind of heart. And we talked about the second kind of heart. We called that heart the wayside heart. Okay. And then we talked about the second kind of heart, which was the seed that was planted on the rock. And we talked about the fact that the seeds were planted. These people received the word with joy. As soon as the word was planted, they received it with joy. The word sprang itself and started to grow. But as soon as the sun came, as soon as the beat of persecution came, it died. And one of the things that we learned in April was the fact that when we receive the word of God, the onus lies on us to remove the rocks. And if you look at it, if you have a garden and you place a rock on even grass that is growing already, after a couple of weeks, what happens is you see death behind that rock. And that rock signifies a lot of things that we've brought into our lives. I mean, culture in itself is a rock that impedes the growth of the word of God in our lives. When we try to do things based on the culture, not according to the word of God, sometimes it may be a rock of bitterness. If you look at what happened to Simon the sorcerer, he received the word of God. And then when he saw that the apostles were laying hands on people and they were receiving the Holy Spirit, he came up to the apostles and wanted to pay for the Holy Spirit. And there, the apostles like cautioned him and said, there's this bitterness that is in your heart. Because sometimes this guile of bitterness that is hindering the word of God in the life. Sometimes when we see something happening in the real sense of it, it may be the rock in the heart, where the word of God does not really have effect, where the word of God keeps coming, but it cannot have full application in the life. And we call this heart the rocky heart. Okay. And we call them the faint-hearted. They are the ones that receive the word of God. When persecution comes, we understand that persecution is meant to help us to grow. Persecution is meant to help us to become mature. But persecution actually kills the word of God in the heart of the faint-hearted. So when we keep things in our hearts that do not align with the word of God, and we're talking about these deep-seated things, bitterness, unforgiveness, we're talking about things, the elemental things, I mean, the things of the flesh, the works of the flesh in our hearts, this hinders the word of God. It makes us faint-hearted. So what happens is, if sickness comes along the way, we can easily, quickly drop what is there because we've not dealt with the rocks. And one of the things that we said is, we said, roll away the rock. Because behind that rock is death. If you remember when God wanted to raise Lazarus, the first thing he said is, roll away the stone. Let us roll away those stones with the help of the Holy Spirit. It is not easy. That unforgiveness, that bitterness, that thing, that covetousness in the heart, that hinders the word of God from growing, that hinders us from moving from the place of being childish into a place of maturity. Let us roll it away. And then the third kind of heart is the one that was sown amidst thorns. And we talked about the fact that when the word of God is sown amidst thorns. That what happens is the word grows, but it becomes choked. The thorns grow up and they choke the word of God. We looked at the application of the kind of things that could choke the word of God. Now, if you look at the thorny heart, this is where a lot of us as Christians stay. Because after you've done the hard work of removing that bitterness, after you've done the hard work of removing those things that seemingly look like rocks, those things that seemingly make the heart not as fertile, as useful, that the enemies have sown over the years, that culture have sown into our hearts, what we stop doing is to deal with the thorns. And the thorns can come. I mean, we understand that even if you plow a ground for farming and you leave it open, what happens is thorns will start to grow. And thorns are there, and they're there. If you read, it's in Romans 8. He talked about the fact that when we have received, it's 8, 12, and 13. He talked about the habitual removal of the things of the flesh, that sin that tends to hinder us. When the farmer plants his seed, what he does habitually and constantly is to remove the weeds that can hinder the growth, that can hinder that seed from growing and producing fruits. One of the things that we laid as the foundation in April was the fact that what the enemy ultimately wants is the lack of fruitfulness. Because once you become translated from that wayside heart, that heart that is under the oppression of the enemy, and then you move on to that next set of hearts, where you've accepted Christ, the enemy is not after our material possessions, is not after anything, is after us becoming the fullness of what God has proposed. Because when we become sons, then we can bring to bear the kingdom of God. When we become sons, the image of Christ can be reflected in us. So if you look at this thorny heart, which we call the half-hearted.
The half-hearted. Can I just quickly bring you back? The rocky heart is the faint-hearted. The thorny heart is half-hearted. So what's the wayside heart?
The wayside.
What did you call it? Faint heart, half heart, wayside.
The wayside is, okay. Is a different kind of heart. It's just one under the oppression of the enemy.
Okay. All right. Okay. So
the hard-hearted. Just a quick recap.
Okay. Wait. The faint-hearted is the wayside heart.
No. The wayside heart is the hard-hearted.
Okay.
It's the one that lacks the understanding of the word.
Okay.
Where there's no change in the heart.
And then the faint-hearted.
The faint-hearted is the rocky heart.
And then the one that gives up
as soon as the sun comes.
That's right. And then the thorns is a half-hearted.
Is a half-hearted.
So what's the fourth one now?
So the fourth one is the good heart. Now, this is the place where we all desire to be. Where the word of God is implanted. Where we constantly go back and we interpret everything in the light of the word of God. Where when we look back, if we see anything that is contrary to the word of God, we start to remove it. I mean, one of the key things that we talked about is separating light from darkness. Where if you see anything that, as the light of God comes in, it shines into your heart, it shows you anything that is wrong in your heart, and then it begins to transform you. That's the state where we want to be, because it's the good heart, which is a wholehearted, that brings forth fruit.
Wholehearted.
That's the one that actually brings forth useful fruit. That's the one, and we talked about the fruits, what kind of fruit it is. When God created man, he said, let us create man in our own image. And he talked about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I mean, if those things are not evident in our lives, we need to look back.
Right.
And we look back at what are the thorns in our life. What are those deep-seated, rocky things in our hearts that are hindering the word of God? Because truthfully, sometimes we can go through the motions, keep coming to church, but never deal with those issues. And what we find out down the line, we come up and say, God, we arranged the seats in church for you. We set up for you. We preached in your name. We did all of that. And God will say, no, I never knew you. Because what really happened was we never came to that point where we became sons, useful in the hands of God. So just a quick recap. I will encourage everybody to probably go back and...
Yes, it was a series done throughout the month of April. And as we look at growing and maturing our hearts, it's good for us to go back to examine, okay, is my heart hard? Is my heart faint? And... Is my heart half, am I half-hearted or whole-hearted? You know, thank you for that recap. Now, Jesus explained this parable in Luke chapter 8. If you read from verse 11 to verse, I think, 15, okay? Verse 15, yes, it's verse 15. Now, let me just read that passage to us. And there's something, you know, I was meditating and I had an experience when I went away, you know, for the retreat. I had a personal retreat recently, all through last week and the week before. And by the way, let me just publicly thank everybody for wishing me a happy birthday on the 30th. Thank you. I think we're meeting for the first time physically, those of us here and those online. So I usually go off on a retreat, and I try to go and examine my life. I try to let God reveal the state of my heart to me. I do that every year. Since I was 25 years old, I started that practice. I'm not making a doctrine out of it, but that's how I kind of celebrate my birthday. I just go away and I'm alone with God. And it's like, Lord, I want to, can you just show me the, you know, where am I in my life? Show me my life. So I recall, you know, when I was 25 years old, I think Afoma at the back there, we remember I shared with her. And I think I must have shared with a couple of people. I was 25 years old and I went away. I didn't plan to go on a retreat, but I was left all alone. I was stranded. So I was the only person where I was, because I was broke, disgusted, busted. I mean, I lost everything at that point. So I was like literally in ground zero. And God showed me something about a king called Amaziah. We said that, I think in 1 Chronicles or 2 Chronicles 25. Okay, I'm just flowing with the Spirit, but I think it's around that place. Now, the story of Amaziah is a king. When a king is installed in those days, the Bible will give us a little bit about the history of the king. His father's name was this, his mother's name was that, and he did that which was right in the eyes of God. And then another king, King Ahab, his mother's name was this, father's name, he did that which was evil in the sight of God. But when he came to Amaziah, the Bible said he was 25 years old. And you won't believe this, Apostle Cruz. I turned 25 that year. Said, he did what, he told us the name of the mother, Jehoiada. And then, I don't know if the media people can find that scripture. 1 Chronicles 25 or 2 Chronicles 25. Amaziah, King Amaziah. Said, he did what was right in the sight of God, but not wholeheartedly. The King James says, not with a perfect heart. And wow, it just described my state at that time. So just buttressing what you said. So Jesus explained that parable in Luke chapter 8. I'm reading from what is known as the Contemporary English Version, just to help us to get a proper understanding, make the thou makest, thinkest, you know, easy. So he says here, this is what the story means, that story of the parable of the sower. The seed is God's message. And the seeds that fell along the road are the people, listen, who hear the message, but the devil comes and snatches the message out of their hearts, so they will not believe and be saved. So you are right, they are hard-hearted. It takes a hard-hearted person to hear the word of God and not believe it at all. Now, it goes on, verse 13. The seeds that fell on the rocky ground are the people who gladly, look, note that word, hear the message and accept it. But they don't have deep roots. And they believe only for a little while. As soon as life gets hard, the things you said, persecution, things just come up, bitterness and things like that, you know, life gets hard. Life's done you a bad, bad, bad deal. The Bible says here, they give up. Now, verse, what is this now?
14.
Sorry, my glasses are not here. I started using glasses over the lockdown. Please pray for me. The seeds that fell among the thorn bushes, that's the thorns,
yes, sir,
are also people who hear the message, but they are so eager for riches and pleasures that they never produce anything. That is what we call the
half-hearted.
Half-hearted. Okay? And then verse, you've got to help me now. You're my eyes.
Verse 15.
You're my eyes today.
Verse 15.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Those seeds that fell on good ground are the people who listen to the message. They keep it in good and honest hearts. Please note that. They last and they produce a harvest. Now, the King James actually breaks the harvest. It says some will produce 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. It depends on your capacity to produce. But they receive the word in a sincere, honest heart. And they produce. So, there are some things, you know, when I went away on this retreat, something happened to me. Next week, by the grace of God, we will build on this because we want to look at what real men are. We'll be looking next week at the difference between children and sons, a child and a son. Basically, just talking about, you know, maturity. The difference between a child and a son, you know, contextually in the Bible, just talks about maturity. A child is still, you know, childish, but a son, listen, can still be childlike, but is mature.
Yes.
Is childlike in heart, childlike in malice, not keeping malice. You know, children don't keep malice. That's the truth.
Yes, sir.
We are the ones who teach them to keep malice.
Yes, sir.
You know, very shameful story. Anytime I tell this story, I feel bad. But let me share the story. Because it's coming back to me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will bring things to our remembrance. Okay. I remembered some years ago, I was driving, taking my son back, our first son, anyway. Hello, Noah. I know you are online. Remember our deal. Okay. Noah, can you just text that you are watching? Okay. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Okay. Noah is not here. He's doing some things online immediately after the service, so he has to be in the studio. So that's why he's not here. Noah is our first son. Let me advertise him. He's 22 years old, and he looks like me. Okay, so I was driving him. He was around, if I can recall, maybe around, he was in year, what was that thing? When there's reception, there's year one, year two.
Year three.
Yeah, I think it was around year two, year three. How old are you when you're in year two, year three?
About seven, eight.
Yeah, I know you're an expert. Because,
Six, seven.
That sounds more like you're lean now. Okay. So it was around 6, 7 years old. So I was driving him home in the car, and he was telling me what happened in the playground. Sister Onome is here, one of Noah's teachers when Noah was in primary. She taught Noah in primary. She taught Noah in secondary. Please, let's celebrate Sister Anome here. Yes. So let me tell you what happened. One of those fateful days. I picked him from Christian Fellowship School. That's the name of the school he went. And we're driving on. So he told me some things somebody did to him in the playground. And I said, and what did you do? I did this. Did you tell your teacher? Well, yeah. Okay, when you get to school tomorrow, don't play with him again. Did you hear me? Don't play with him again. Now, he was 6, 7 years old.
Yes, sir.
Hear what he told me. Daddy, but the Bible says we should forgive those who trespass against us. Excuse me, mind you, 6, 7 years, I was pastor of Love Assembly Liverpool. Love Assembly, RCCG, Love Assembly, Liverpool, pastor of Love Assembly. I was teaching my son malice. I was teaching my son not to forgive. I was ashamed of myself, Sister Onome. I was ashamed. But I don't have that kind of heart again, okay?
Amen.
Yeah. So I became childlike. So that encounter always reminds me to be childlike when people offend me. And let's not teach our children, you know, don't put your own mentality, unforgiving spirit, don't put it in the child. Don't plant it in the child. They are innocent. So I think there's a reason why I said that. Yeah. I have a feeling there's a reason why I said it. So anyway, so we'll be looking at, you know, being matured and still being childlike. We'll look at that next week. I understand next week talking about, you know, men and the fathers or whatever.
Yes.
Okay. So what I want to do right now as we round up is I just want to introduce us to seven things that was revealed to me of how to know the true state of your heart. So wherever we stop, we have a few minutes left. We'll continue. I will share seven things, but wherever we stop, I'll resume next week. So please, everybody online, are you there? Let's check the people online. Oh, yeah, Noah said hello. Hello, Noah. Good boy. Good boy. Shows that he's with us. Yeah, he's with us. Well done, boy. That's my beloved first son, whom I'm well pleased. And I've got Joshua here. Hello, Joshua. How you doing? Great. Yeah, Noah, under the lockdown, this young man discovered a lot of skills of cooking. So he cooked so much for all of us, we had to start looking for exercise, how to shed weight. All right, okay. So the things that reveal the true state of our hearts. So number one, are we ready?
Yes, sir.
Please, I can't hear you.
Yes, sir.
And the people online, are you ready? Yes, Uche said, yes, we are here too. Dr. Uche, all the way from Blackpool. Okay, all right. Number one, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's see the underlining scripture where some of these things are coming out from. Okay, and I'm reading from that contemporary English version, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Maybe I'll share one or two today and then we'll get on from there next week, okay? Let me read the contemporary English version, okay? Which version are you showing us, media?
NKJV.
NKJV. What does NKJV mean? People
New
in the studio?
King James
version. I know. I'm just testing them. Please, what's the meaning of NKJV? What's the meaning of TLB?
The Living Bible.
What is the meaning of AMP?
Amplified.
What's the meaning of MSG?
Message.
What's the meaning of, all right, come on, let's stick to the word. You like to play too much, all of you. All right. Okay, let me stick to the New King James version that's on our screen. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply. Now, the context of this story was that the children of Israel, God had taken them through the wilderness 40 years. And through the wilderness, they went through all sorts of trials. There were times when, they didn't have food. Food ran out, Just imagine being in the wilderness for 40 years. And the journey that God was taking them through, they could have actually, I think how many days was it, the journey? They could, if God had taken them, allowed them to go through
40 days.
40 days. They could have gotten to their destination in 40 days. But God took them through a long journey of 40 years only. So this was coming out of that 40-year journey. And God was now telling them why he took them through that journey. So read with me. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers, Verse 2, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Let's stop there. Now, if we key in, if we zero in on that verse 2, he was telling them, I took you through this wilderness 40 years to humble, to test, so that you will see what is in your heart. It's not as if God doesn't know. Let me tell us one analogy I always use, which I understood some years ago. If you want to know what is inside a bottle, like a bottle that you can squeeze, but usually a toothpaste, if you squeeze a toothpaste tube, what will come out of the toothpaste tube?
Toothpaste.
Okay, what if I pour juice inside that toothpaste tube? What will come out if I squeeze it?
Juice.
If I pour water inside the toothpaste tube, what will come out?
Water.
If I pour ketchup inside the toothpaste tube, what will come out?
Ketchup.
If I put salt and water inside the toothpaste tube, what will come out?
Salt and water.
If I pour acid and base inside the toothpaste tube, what will come out?
What, salt and water.
You see, you need to go and do your chemistry again. Acid plus base, when you mix it, you get
salt and water.
Salt and water. Chemistry 101. All right, just joking. Basically, it is what is inside the tube that will come out. Do you agree?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So the pressures of life, when we're squeezed, what is inside of us gets revealed.
Yes, sir.
So the wilderness experience, the pressures, the tribulations, the trials we face in life, it's not because God doesn't like us. It's not because at times maybe of mistakes we make in life. It's to help us to see the situation, the true state of our hearts. So God was saying, I led you all the way. You went through that 40 years. Maybe likened to our own time, the whole world went through a pandemic. It's not about the pandemic. It's to let every one of us see the true state of our hearts. You know, one of the things, though I said it jokingly, why the churches were shut and people couldn't come into church and everybody was driven home, is to let you actually see that that husband of yours or wife of yours, you've been coming to church together, is to see if he's really born again. Because now you're stuck at home. You don't have anywhere to go. You now really see the character. You know, like that one, you know, under lockdown, suddenly realized that our young men, you know, Noah is 22, Joshua is 18 now, that men, I have men in my house. They are no longer boys. You know, they've been shut down. And it also helped me to see, you know, how beautiful my wife is, actually. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
No, on a very serious note, it helped me admire, see my wife. Yeah. 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 That means my dinner tonight is guaranteed.
Amen.
All right, just joking. Okay, so the pressure. So number one, and I think we will end with number one. Or do you want number two?
Yes, sir.
Number three? Four? No, we'll stop at two. Yeah, Jesus sent them out two by two. Okay, so number one, trials, tribulations, pressures of life, adversity helps us to see the true state of our hearts. How we react, how we respond when adversity hits us, when trials hit us. Maybe you are on this broadcast or you're in the studio and you are probably going through a rough patch. It's not about the rough patch or the trial or the persecution. Please take your eyes off that. God is trying to show you your heart. Your heart. So that's number one. So how do you react? How do you respond? Is an indication of what your heart looks like. An indication. You know, the pandemic actually helped some people to really see that they don't really believe in God. They were just doing religion. Just going Sunday, put on the nice clothes, carry the family, pop in, get into the church and smile. But now you're alone with God. Do you really believe this God? Fear. You know the fear that gripped everybody. Confusion. Do you really trust God? That's what tribulation and trials and persecution will reveal. That's number one. So number two, and we close. All right. Number two. This is very interesting. This happened to me. And always happens to me. And it's one way that helps me to actually see my heart truly. You know, you talked about bitterness, unforgiveness, and all that stuff. When you hear, listen to this. I wrote them down so I don't forget. When you hear about somebody else's prosperity, somebody else's blessing, how do you respond? How do you react? How do you feel? Your colleague, your classmate, your age mate, you married the same time, they bought a house. You just had, they bought a house. How do you respond? Hey, praise God. No, no, no. You don't praise no God. You feel sad inside. You feel envious. You're jealous. That's showing you the state of your heart. Don't cover it up with tongues, please. Mm. Just acknowledge that God has just revealed to you the real state of your heart. Do you rejoice with those who are rejoicing? Genuinely? I'm not talking of that kind of, what do you call it? Facade. Where you're, like you said, the first parable or something you gave, somebody's smiling at you. But you don't really know. Probably they've stabbed you in their heart. How do you respond or react when you hear of somebody else's blessing, success, when you hear that somebody's child came first and your child came first from the back, aka last? Serious? It shows the real state and true state of our hearts. The Bible says, anyway, I won't jump into the third one. I promise to stop at two. I think this is a good place to pray. Do you get envious? Do you get jealous?
Covetous.
Or do you become covetous? Do you get angry? And angry at God? Why did you do it for so and so? And you didn't do it for me. God, I'm not doing it again. People, there's a prayer that the psalmist prayed in, I think it's Psalm 126. It's a very lovely prayer. I prayed it, you know, when I went away on the retreat. I heard something and I said, Lord, why am I feeling this way? You know, some people's name just come into your mind and you feel somehow. God is showing you the true state of your heart. Oh, I thought I had forgiven so and so. But then you heard their name and it's like, argh! And please don't use scriptures. Let me be vulnerable on air. I was sharing with someone that I've learned some prayers. I think maybe it's my wife. I can't remember. You know, when you're praying because somebody got you angry and you're using scriptures, Lord, kill those, punish those who, there's one psalm people use, you know, that those who have, Anyway, I don't know it. My heart is different. I don't know it anymore. But I remembered many years ago, there was a scripture that says that their candle shall be put out. And then you are praying that God should put out somebody else's candle. And you are using the scriptures. Now, God does not hear such prayers. You say it's in the Bible. Yeah, go and read the context in which it's written. It's not for us to wish evil on people. It shows the state of our heart. If you ever wish somebody evil, what does that tell you about your heart?
There's evil in your heart.
Please say it out loud, sir.
There's evil in your heart.
Let's pray. Lord, search me. Lord, try me. See if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Father, this is not a message to condemn. It's not a message to make us feel guilty. It's a message to liberate, to help us see our hearts and where we need to repent. Oh God, please help me. I began to pray, people. And if you want to join online, please pray. Lord, give me a heart that is like yours. Let me love people the way you love them. I began to pray for myself. Let me just react and respond to people the way you will respond, Lord. I don't like this feeling. I don't like the way I'm feeling about so and so. I don't. Oh God, it's not right. I am your child. I should rejoice with those who rejoice. I should mourn with those who mourn. Lord, I should be glad, but I'm not. Please be sincere. Be sincere. God's just revealing your heart. God looks at the heart. God takes away the stony heart and gives a heart of flesh. Lord, give me a heart of flesh. Pour a new spirit within me, oh God. You said I would remove the stony heart, he said in Ezekiel. I will take out the stony heart and I will give you a heart of flesh and I will pour my spirit within you. I pray, Lord. Lord, take out this heart. I don't like this feeling. Please be honest, be sincere. The searchlight of the Spirit of God is upon you now. The Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Your conscience is being revealed. Your conscience is pricking you. Not to condemn, but to repent. Not to condemn, but to commend you into the hands of God. God is love. God is love. Lord, I want to love like you love. I want a whole heart. I don't want a faint heart. I don't want a hard heart. I don't want, Lord, a heart that is not right. Lord, I want a whole heart. Wholeness talks about health, healing. Lord, I don't want to be half-hearted. Help me. Give me a heart just like yours. Please pray all over the place. Please, we've got 1 more minute to pray. If you don't know what to pray for, just ask for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you are feeling hatred towards anybody, if you are feeling bitterness, the Bible says the love of God has been shed, poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given. The Bible says, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? When we have the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of love. The love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Just ask, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Lord, that is what I want. I want a heart that is whole. I want a heart that is pure. I want a heart, Lord, that does not have hatred. Father, help me. Help me. Please pray 1 more minute, everybody. 1 more minute, just pray. Ask in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you. Help me. Help my heart. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Yes, you are the potter and the clay. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you. It is the entrance of your word that brings light and gives understanding. Lord, you've revealed the different kinds of hearts. You've revealed the state of our own hearts. Your word does not return to you void. When you send your word, is to heal. When you send your word, is to deliver us from destruction. Your word will not return the same way. I pray, as we've heard your word today, including myself, Lord, your word will fall on a good heart, good ground. Your word will bring forth fruit in my life. Amen. I will be fruitful. What I've heard today, I will do. Amen. The things you have spoken to us quietly to do, the steps you've asked us to take, empower us. We will take these steps. We forgive everyone who's hurt us. The tribulations, trials, every one of us might be going through, Lord, we will not faint. Amen. We will hold on to you. We will trust in you. Your word says that you will keep him in perfect peace, whose heart is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Lord, we trust in you. We do not lean on our understanding anymore. We just rest. Take absolute control. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.